to be an overcomer, what it takes to do that. And I think this is very appropriate in the times that we're living in to overcome different things. And maybe you're facing something that you've been working on for 8 years, 9 years in your life, and you're trying to see how you can overcome and be victorious in what you're facing today. And I think there are some real issues in our culture today to where if we look at the circumstances, maybe we become discouraged. Maybe we come focused on what the facts are rather than what the truth is. So I just want to encourage you today. We're going to continue on part two of Overcomer. 1 John 4:4 says this, "You are of God, little children." He's talking to us. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he," speaking of Jesus, "who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is encouragement to us. And God, sometimes it does hurt. Sometimes it steps on our toes a little bit. But Lord, we thank you that you love us anyway, that you encourage us today, that you speak to our hearts. And God, our minds and hearts are open to you. Give us a heart to follow after you and your instruction and be obedient to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we talked about Daniel in chapter 1. And remember, Israel was taken into captivity during this time of Daniel, taken into captivity because of their disobedience to God. They did things their way. So this is very appropriate in the days we're living in. All these years later, how appropriate and how applicable that it is to our lives today. But because of their disobedience, Israel was taken into captivity. And there are a few guys that King Nebuchadnezzar was after. He wanted some of the best guys that Israel had to offer. As they were taken into captivity, King Nebuchadnezzar said to his VP, he said, "Go get some of the guys that look the best, are the strongest, can serve me, aren't afraid of work." So after a long process we talked about last week, King Nebuchadnezzar found these guys, and Daniel was one of these four guys, and he chose the best to serve him in the palace. They were above average. But during that time, we saw last week, Daniel was really put to the test. His faith was tested. And we talked about the principles that Daniel had to stand by, his principles in God, in order to see the victory that God wanted to bring in his life, and the reward, and the blessing, and the favor. And how appropriate that is for us today to always stand on the principles of God's word. But today we're going to pick up in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, "Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits." So it was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. It was actually an idol of himself. It said, "He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon, and King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, all the important people, the counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." So the satraps in verse 3, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried out, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up." Wouldn't it be startling news that if we were to gather downtown tomorrow, that during the course of all the music and events and the celebration and everything here to dedicate this thing, that we were all commanded to bow down before an idol? That day could very well come. And so in verse 6 it says, "Whoever does not fall down and worship," notice here's the threat, here's the encouragement for anybody to do that, everybody to do that. And notice that it's motivated by fear. Satan will always motivate you by fear to do what he wants you to do. And so he always, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he does that in the attitude and the heart of fear. As a matter of fact, 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Who has perfect love? Where does perfect love come from? It comes from God. And so when there's fear involved in loving God or loving things, fear does not come from God. It says that perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment, 1 John 4:18 says, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So in verse 6, it continues on. It says, whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, that's not a roller coaster ride. I mean, that wasn't a fun thing. That was something motivated in fear that you were supposed to take the command of the king to bow down before this idol. Torture was the alternative if they did not worship this idol. And so in Daniel, we see here that the worship was commanded on this idol. But if we look farther in Daniel chapter 6, we see a different story. And we see that the commandment in worship was different. These men said in verse 5 of Daniel 6, these men said, now these men were serving a different king. These men were serving King Darius. King Darius did not like King Nebuchadnezzar, but he did like Daniel. But these men were working for King Darius, and these men did not like Daniel. They were jealous of Daniel. Daniel, again, was good looking. He was strong. He was cut. He was liked. And so these men, referring to them in verse 5 of Daniel 6, these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel. How you like that attitude? Not Daniel, but this Daniel. You kind of see a smirk. Unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They knew that Daniel was a man of God. They knew that if they were going to catch Daniel, because they were so jealous of him, if they were going to catch him in some kind of error, it was going to be concerning Daniel's God. In other words, they wanted to discredit Daniel in some way. So they began by attacking and putting together a plan concerning Daniel's relationship with God. And so Daniel 6:6, it says, so these governors and satraps thronged before the king and thus said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together. We've all gotten together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. And whoever petitions any God or man for 30 days, except you, O king, they're buttering him up, aren't they? Shall be cast into the den of lions. So the first story, they were commanded to worship the idol. In the second story here in chapter 6, everyone was commanded not to worship. Not to worship. You notice there's a common denominator here, and it's an attack on worship. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Now, O king, in verse 8, establish the decree and sign the writing. You know how much we love you and we're here for you. We're helping you. Sign this decree so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. And so the attack that we see on worship is the same attack that we see on worship today. What happens when you get up on Sunday morning and get ready for church? If you've ever had a problem in the week, it's going to be on Sunday morning. I remember when we were, we've had our children in church all of their lives, and Chris and I both were raised in church. We've been in church all of our lives too. I can remember back when I was a little boy. I can remember back when Josh and Jordan were small, now 33 and 29 years old. And any time we were getting ready for church, if there was a challenge for the week, it was always on Sunday morning. Now, that's just a little example of the things that we deal with when we get ready to worship God. You come to prayer meeting on Monday night. You come to prayer at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning at the end of the hall. You come to Tuesday night Bible study. You come to Wednesday night Bible study. You come to anything that involves worship to God and giving time to God, it will be challenged. Worship is challenged. Now, we think of worship many times as music, and music is involved in worship, as we'll see in a moment. But it's much more than music. Music stirs the heart of God in us to worship God. But worship to God is really every moment of every day of our life. Worship comes out of our heart. Worship is who we are in God. And there's always an attack on worship in our lives, and always has been and always will be. Worship began in this world to God, and worship will end in this world to God. We're going to worship something, every one of us. In the last days, there will be an even greater attack over our worship. Even in Adam and Eve, in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 48, it tells the story of how Lucifer was God's worship leader. Lucifer was beautiful. He was talented. He took care of all the music. And all the music at that time, the worship leader, it was always to God, until Lucifer decided one day that all the worship needed to be for himself. So God had enough worship, and so Lucifer took it upon himself to say, I want all the worship for me. And so that didn't work out too well, so God tossed Lucifer out. And so God today is in heaven. God is in our hearts. The Lord is in our hearts, but he resides in heaven, where we see, where we will see Bill Sullins and Peggy Copeland and all of our loved ones, my mom and your loved ones. We'll see all of them together one day. And heaven sits there with no worship leader. Who do you think God put in charge of worship to him? You and I. We're God's worship leader. We lead God's worship. Now, there are angels there singing around the throne, but we're to be the worship leader. We're to lead the worship of God for our life. And so worship to God should be every single day of our life. The very breath that we breathe at this moment is from God. We were created to worship God. And so God cast Lucifer out. And so in Psalm 150 and verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It all began with worship. It will all end with worship. The Bible says that there will be an Antichrist to rise up in the last days. And this Antichrist will build of himself an idol, an image, just like we read in the book of Daniel for King Nebuchadnezzar, that the Antichrist will command people to bow down and worship this idol. But it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. Sometimes it's our human tendency to trust people that maybe aren't the best ones to trust. We talked about the gifts of the Spirit several weeks ago and talked about how discernment is part of those gifts. But we can rely on God's judgment, God's direction, God's wisdom to not be deceived. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. There'll be a deception in the last days. There'll be a deception in a time where attention is more drawn to man than it is to God. It talks about this again in Revelation 13, verses 14 to 17. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. The motivation here again is fear. Fear is not from God. He causes or commands all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. and that no one may buy or sell, this will become the currency of the time, except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Those times are closer than what we think. The devil is after your worship. It all boils down to worship. It all boils down to devil. The devil wants your time. He wants your abilities. He wants your life. He wants your worship. And so Daniel here is warning us in these two stories that we've seen. Daniel is warning us and teaching us about worship. Worship. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, it shows us how these men stood on God's principles. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Do you hear any worry, any fear, or any concern in their voice? Not at all. How can we overcome the way that these four men have overcome? Verse 18, but if not, if the Lord does not deliver us, he will, but if he doesn't, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, small g, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up before us. They had already determined in their mind. There was already a place set in their mind what they would do, serve God, and what they would not do and serve their God and bow before their golden image. It was already established before this event. But we're not to be deceived. We're not to be manipulated by fear. And we're not to doubt God. And we can always stand for what God stands for. The same principles that God established in the book of Daniel, God gives us the grace and the ability to stand today. I understand in Canada, if we were to read certain parts of the Bible today, that we could go to jail for reading certain parts as a hate crime out of the Word of God. It's closer than we think. And so there may come a time that we have to do what we're doing today underground, just to teach, just to learn the Word of God. Thank God we don't have that today. Thank God we have the freedom to stand here today and to be protected by our governing law, that we can establish a church to worship and praise God. Daniel 6, verse 10 through 12 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, remember Darius signed this writing, when it was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now, so I believe that Daniel's heart was right. He didn't go home in a vindictive attitude. He didn't go home in a rebellious attitude and say, well, I will show them who I am. I will show them that I will go to my home and I'll open my windows and worship and praise God. What Daniel did do was that he had no fear of man, and he did the same thing that he had been doing, the Bible says, since the early days. In other words, this was a pattern that Daniel had set way before he was in trouble. So I would simply say, maybe today we can establish some habits and worship to God today before we come into a place of trouble and a place of fear. Daniel only continued doing what he had been doing for a long time. He didn't stop. It wasn't in rebellious to man that he was doing what he was doing. It was in obedience to God while he was doing what he was doing. There's a difference in there. He wasn't trying to show man anything. He was trying to show God that he was trusting him and he was being obedient to what God had already established in his heart. And so we, today's as good a time as any for us to set up and to begin to do some things to honor God and to worship God in our life that will continue on. It's okay to pray being a habit. It's okay to form a habit of prayer. It's okay to form a habit of reading God's word. It's okay if you want to call it a habit, so be it. A tradition, whatever you want to call it. Daniel had this thing that he was doing for a long time, since the early days, that he prayed three times a day. He prayed and gave thanks before his God. How could Daniel give thanks to God when he knew that trouble was at his front door? And so Daniel daily communicated with God. Daniel 6:11 says, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. They heard, they saw. Word got back to them, making supplication before his God, and they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree." They knew they were going to get him. It was just a matter of time. And they said, "King, have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, didn't you sign this, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den?" The king answered and said, "Yes, this thing is true. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." I did that. So the king goes on to talk about how Daniel was thrown into the lion's den and how troubled he was because he saw that he was manipulated by men just trying to get Daniel into the lion's den. So King Darius was concerned. He went and checked on Daniel and said, "Daniel, are you in there?" Daniel said, "Yeah, I'm here." And so Darius said, "Daniel, are you okay?" And he said, Yeah, I'm fine." And so Darius knew then that there was a God bigger than him that helped save Daniel's life. God closed the mouths of the lion even when he was in the presence of those hungry lions. There was nothing separating him from those lions except for God's hand. And so King Darius announced, "Your God is real. You serve the real God." The ultimate test, church, the ultimate test is our heart for God, is our worship to God. Can we stand for God? Can we stand for God when things are good? Can we stand for things when things are challenging? Can we stand for God when things are easy? Can we stand for God when things are difficult? Can we love God enough to worship him in any circumstance, in any situation? So Daniel had the guts to stand in the face of fear. His life was before him, and Daniel stood. Daniel overcame. The next verse I'm going to read to you is a verse that sums up really our walk with God. It sums up really where Daniel was with God. It gives us the answer to how we can have the same outcome as what Daniel had. It's found in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. In Mark 12:30, it says, this is Jesus speaking, and Jesus is giving this instruction. He says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. For this is the first commandment." This commandment, this word in Mark 12:30, is really the foundation of every single thing in our life. If we can adapt this to our life, if we can take this and apply this to our life, we will overcome any obstacle that we face, even in the face of fear. With this scripture, what does this scripture mean? How can we dissect this to apply to our life? How can we overcome like Daniel did? How can we face fear? How can we face possibly the end of our life? How can we face opposition, people against us, hatred? Did you know the devil hates you? The devil hates me because we're chosen of God, because we were born to worship God. The devil hates us. How can we overcome in the face of that? Are we bigger than the devil? We are in Christ Jesus. He said that we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. And that is even overcoming the devil. That is overcoming the schemes and the plans that the devil puts in your life to tear you down and to disrupt you, to discourage you. That means that you can do all things, that you can persevere, that you can make it through anything that you face as we adapt this scripture to our life. Heart and soul. What is our heart and soul? Our heart and soul is our affections, our emotions, and our passions. It's who you are. Affections, emotions, and passions. You say, well, that's no place for a Christian. Yeah, God made us that way. God made us to have affections. God made us to have emotions. God made us to have passions. It's when they go out of control and they're beyond God's plan is when they bring trouble. But they are of God. Affections, emotions, and passions are of God. As a matter of fact, if we look throughout Scripture where there's worship, their worship included all of these things. Their worship included their heart and soul. Their worship included affections, emotions, and passions. In Acts, when they were all in prayer together, they were definitely having their emotions and their passions and their affections there in that upper room. What stirs up, what moves our affections, emotions, and passions? What is it that moves it? When we look in the Scripture, we see worship included shouting, clapping, cymbals, horns, stringed instruments, lifting hands, singing, dancing. It included all these things. That's everything you are. That means when you're excited, when it's okay to be excited when you worship. Even when you're down, when you're discouraged, you have to stir yourself up. Why? Because it's worship to God. So we don't base our worship to God on what the situation looks like. I mean, that's kind of up and down. I mean, it may be up right now, but given bad news in 30 minutes, that could change. Well, our worship to God should be consistent. It's not based on whether I get good news or bad news. So it involves every bit of us, every bit of our life. Now, this sounds like a big celebration or party, doesn't it? If you put together all of the words that I just gave you, shouting, clapping, cymbals, horns, stringed instruments, lifting of hands, singing and dancing, that sounds like a party at the end of October around Georgia Florida weekend, doesn't it? It sounds like a big celebration of some sort. But this could be our daily life to God, our heart of worship. And to be so exuberant and so excited that we worship God anyway. In the face of the lion, yes. When they're coming to get you in chains, yes. But how do we become more affectionate, emotional, and passionate about other things more than we do about God? We do. Other things going on in life, other things that are busy in life now. Other things, it's okay to celebrate. It's okay to celebrate a grandbaby. It's okay to celebrate the preschool opening up. It's okay to celebrate. I mean, God wants to give you all these things to celebrate and to do well. God wants to give you all those things, but not if they take precedence over Him. We've got to understand that it all comes from Him. Every blessing, every good and perfect gift comes from God. And so He has the ultimate worship, not those things. So those things are great, worship God. But if those things are gone, great, worship God. So He deserves praise anyway. I believe it grieves God's heart when we have things, when we accumulate things, when we do well in life, but yet the better we do in life, the more He takes a sidestep. It's got to grieve the heart of God when he loves us so much. He's got so much invested in us. He gave His Son for us. How can He forget you? How can He push you aside when He has so much invested in you and loves you so much? And so for us to take precedence over other things, whether it's a literal golden image or whether it's some sort of other golden image that takes our eyes off of Christ, I believe it grieves God that we love things more than we love God. God deserves our emotions. He deserves our affections. He deserves our passions. What is our mind? Well, we know what our mind is, but really, what is our mind? Our mind is our attention, our focus. What consumes our mind? What consumes our thoughts? What consumes our attention? It's our attention. What do we devote our attention to? I like what Elder Roth said one time. He said, I can tell what's your priority in your finances by looking at your checkbook. Elder Roth said, give me your checkbook and I'll tell you where your priority's at. That's wise words. And so the same thing with our mind, we can tell if you kept a log, man, it will be a long log. But if you kept a log of every thought that you had, your attention in a day's time, 24-hour time, and go back and let the computer tally it all up and put it to a category, this many minutes on this many minutes on this, and you looked at that log for 24 hours, what was your attention devoted to? Now, I'm not saying that we've got to give our dedication to our employer, give our dedication to work and things like that. But at the base of that, that's what I'm saying. We can't lock ourselves away in a closet and say, well, I'm going to pray all day long. Well, you know what? You may go hungry. So we've got to be dedicated to our responsibilities and what God's put before us. But the very base of that thing, whatever we do, can be done even with giving God the glory for it. And we'll talk about the next step in just a moment. But our attention needs to be on God no matter what we're doing. The very basis of what we're doing, what we're thinking about, should be on God. If you're trying to figure something out, let God be the basis of that. Because you know what? God can give you an answer quicker than a book can. Google don't have the same power that God does. And the answers you get from God will always be right. It won't be a guess. It won't be 50-50. But our attention needs to be on God. Many times we find our attention on the problems. Many times we find our attention on tomorrow, what the plans are for tomorrow, past issues, these things in my past. My attention is on those things, on worries. I'm worried about that. I'm worried that this thing's not going to work out. Our attention is devoted to things that doesn't matter. Our attention is devoted to sickness or finances or relationships, all these sorts of things that are out of our control. But if we give our attention to God and focus on God and let Him be the basis of everything that we do in life, it will change. That's worship. That's the worship that Daniel gave to God. Everything that he did, the basis of his attention, his mind, was God. That's how he was an overcomer. That's how he knew that he would go in there if he lost his life. Praise God. I remember just back in 2016, before they put this defibrillator in, I was discovered with a heart disease when I was 18, given 3 to 5 years to live. And here I am nearly 54 years old, and I'm doing okay. And so in 2016, the doctor said, we need to put a defibrillator in because you're getting a little older now. You've hit the 50 mark, and you could die suddenly. I said, okay. I said, well, I don't really want to have it done. He said, well, let me get word to your wife and children. And so, of course, he did, and the rest is history. But in the meantime, he said, well, you could die suddenly. You know, your heart stop beating. And I just looked at him, and he said, well, at times in the past when my heart has stopped, I've punched myself in the chest and it fires my heart back up. And he said, you shouldn't have told me that. And he said, what if your heart stops and you're able to do that? I said, I'll be in heaven. He just shook his head. He said, okay, I understand. But we can't have fear. Our fear can't be wrapped up in when things go our way and don't go our way. Our attention can't be on what if this and what if that. That IF word. We base our life on IF. If this happens, you know what? It doesn't matter. Like Daniel said, thank God he's going to save me. Shadrach, Meshach said, and Abednego, he's going to save me. But if he doesn't, praise God anyway. Our attention is on God no matter what the outcome is going to be. But our trust is in God so much that whatever he does in that situation, that it's going to be good anyway. It's going to be good anyway. And then our strength. What is our strength? Our strength is our abilities. I alluded to this a moment ago. Our abilities. We all have abilities. We all have talents. We all have things that God has given us to do. And our abilities come from God. We can't do anything without God giving us the wisdom to do it. That's why I love great doctors. I love my doctor that he's cared for me and he gives me his wisdom. But his wisdom comes from God. He can't do anything, give me any wise advice, unless God first gives it to him. Sometimes I get it right, sometimes I get it wrong. That's okay. That's life. But our abilities come from God. What are we doing with our abilities to God? How do we worship God with our abilities? How do we worship God with the things that God has given us, the strengths and the talents that God has given us? God has given us the abilities and talents to glorify Him. We give our abilities first to God, and God makes something great out of it. That's how inventions are done. Come about. It comes by a thought, and to put it on paper and say, wow, look at this. And several years ago, we had a friend that developed a fish flipper. And you say, what in the world's a fish flipper? Well, it's some real little, looked like a coat hanger that had a kind of a sharp curve to it. And when you caught a fish that you didn't want, a catfish or an eel or what you call those things, with a stingray, that you get the fish flipper out, tie the line in it, and just flip it off, and he flops right off. And so anything simple like that, Grabber Manufacturing many years ago gave the idea to a man, and he put it on paper. And what did it turn out to be? It was God's giving him the ability and the talent to make something big out of a thought. That's God's talents. That's God's abilities. And I believe that those things reside in you and I this morning. So Daniel loved God so much that he gave him his abilities, his talents. Daniel loved God with all of his heart, his soul, his mind, his strength. Daniel 6:28 says, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. Daniel's heart for God, by Daniel giving God his soul, his mind, his strength, everything that he had, and his focus was on him, Daniel 6:28 says that Daniel prospered. Daniel prospered. That's the results of us giving God everything that we have. I'm not telling you to go out and sell everything that you've gotten. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is what you do have, what we do have, everything that we have. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge God in all of our ways. In all of our ways. And what he will do with that, he will multiply it. He will give it greater and greater. But it all starts small. If we can't give God everything when things are small, how's he going to trust us when he makes it bigger? So we've got to be diligent in the small things so that we can be ruler over many. And that's God's plan for your life. That's God's plan for Daniel. And Daniel knew that. It was not an ulterior motive for Daniel that he said, you know what? I'm going to get God on my side. I'm going to give God glory so that I can get all my... That was not Daniel's heart. Daniel's heart was to please God. And because Daniel wanted to please God, God blessed Daniel. Daniel prospered. God wants you to prosper. Now, so that you know how my mind thinks, as I was thinking and praying, back in 1978, there was a song, and it was sung by Gloria Gaynor, and it was called, I Will Survive. Does anybody know that song? Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only person. But you know what? Some of you are facing some things today, and you feel like you're in survivor mode. I will survive. Yeah, you may survive, but God wants you to be an overcomer. And so many times we limit ourselves. Chris and I were talking about this yesterday. We limit ourselves just by surviving. If I can just survive this. You're in survivor mode. You just want to make it. If I can just make it by the skin of my teeth, I will be so happy. But what if God wants you to be an overcomer and to make it by a long shot? See, that's God's plan. And many times we limit ourselves because our mind is, we're so limited. We're right here. And it's like, if I could just get across there, if I could just survive, you're in survival mode. Somebody's listening to me and saying, you know, yeah, that's me. I'm in survivor mode. I just want to, my Lord, if I could just get through this afternoon, if I can just get through next Friday, if I could just get through 30 days from now, if I can just pull this thing together, I'll be okay. But you know what? God doesn't want you to live in survival mode. God wants you to live in prosperous mode. God wants you to live in a place where you can overcome, and the things that are holding you back today, put those things aside. They are real. They are part of your life. But our perception for those things should be through the eyes of God and not through our eyes, to where we're singing, I will survive. What about I will overcome? What about I will overcome? What about I will have victory? What about I will do this through the help of Jesus Christ? Why can't that be our song? That we're not just going to be survivors. We're going to be overcomers. We're not only going to come through this thing, but we're going to be victorious and we're going to beat it by a long shot. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I know the God that we serve will make it happen. I'm standing proof right here today that God will cause you to be an overcomer and he will bring victory in your life no matter what you're facing today. That's the God that we serve. That's how awesome God is and that's how much he loves you. There is no good and perfect gift that he's going to withhold from his children. We just need to get ourselves in a place to where Daniel was. God, I'm going to trust you. Don't worry, don't fret, don't be anxious for anything, but God, I want to trust you. We get our intellect involved so many times that our intellect takes over our faith in God because I can figure this out and I can see a way to do this and I won't even have to use my points with God. Sometimes we think we've got 10 points with God today and goodness, I've already used 8 of them. I've only got 2 left. God is for you. He's not against you. God wants you to overcome, not just get by. He wants you to be prosperous in all of your ways. Come up. Let's bow our heads together. I believe God is speaking to hearts this morning. There are some things that